Today's daf is Pechet. We're going to start at Pezayin on a bet near the bottom. We were in the middle of, we basically darshan that we learned from Kama. Remember, there were two psukim that dealt with the issue of a poel eating while he was in someone's field. I took a walk in the Pardes yesterday and had a whole thought, of course, thinking about, if I was working here, I'd be able to just pick if I wanted. Of course, you see all the fruits on the floor and you think, what a waste, you know, nobody's picking them. So anyway, it all came to back to me. Should we, you know.
Gemara made live.
Yes. So anyway, so a worker, while he's working in the field, he's allowed to take fruits and eat, but he can't do it with a kli, right, unless he's working for a non-Jew, in which case he's allowed to take it in his kli. And then we saw a different opinion, which said, no, that's not what it's coming to say when it says re'echa. It's coming to tell you that it's that gezel that hekdesh. That's where we ended yesterday. That hekdesh was you can't even take anything if it's a field of hekdesh. Now, so again, where were we? We're in the middle of. We learned that you can. It's the issue of a poel by Kama, and then we from Chermesh it included other things, and then the fact that Kama right also said anything that's standing. Okay, that included everything. So then we said, well, what do we need the Kerem Pasuk for? And we were in the middle of a whole series of drashot that they learn out from the Kerem Pasukim, or the Kerem Pasuk, really. Right? Different words in the Kerem Pasuk. So one of them was this one about the Kuti we just said, or the Hekdesh. So now we're up to the next one. It says in that Pasuk, Ve'achalta. So what do we darshan from Ve'achalta? Ve'lo motzeitz anavim. That you can eat it, but you can't suck out the juice. What's the issue of if you suck out the juice from the grapes? You're going to eat a lot more, a much larger quantity, because you're just sucking out the juice. So you can take a lot more. That's already going to be too much. Anavim, v'lo anavim v'davar acher, the same theory here. Okay, it says v'achalta anavim. So why does it say v'achalta anavim? Specifically, you can eat grapes, but you can't take the grapes and, for example, put salt on them and start seasoning them, because again, then it's going to bring you to eat many more. Kinaf shecha, okay, this is drasha we're going to see for a lot today. Kinaf shecha means kinefesh shabala bayit kach nafsho shopoel. Okay, so we're going to say, right, you can eat vachalta anavim kinaf shecha. What does it mean, kinaf shecha? So it means that your nefesh is like the nefesh of the balabayit, which means what? Ma nafshecha, just like the nefesh of the balabayit, ochel, upatur. If you're out in your own field and you eat, you're patur from maser. Okay, today we're going to get all into maser. Okay, at what point you become chayav in maserot? Af nafsho shel poel, ochel upatur. Therefore, while you're in the field, you don't have to take truma to maserot. So the poel can eat just like the owner can eat. Okay, he has the same laws that apply to him, which means that he doesn't need to take truma to maserot before he eats when it's out in the field. Okay, we're going to discuss this a lot. Sov echa, okay, it says kinafshecha sov echa. V'lo achila gasa. Okay, you can't eat a crazy amount, right? That's not, you can eat lihaspia to satiate yourself, but not past that. Ve'el kol yecha lo titein. What do we darshan from this? This we already saw before. You can't put it in your kli, right? What halacha we learn from here? V'sha'a sha'ata noten lekel yosha balabayit, ata ochel. U'b'sha'a she'i ata noten lekel, actually not kel yo, kelav. Okay, so at the time when you're putting it in kelim, really, who are you doing it for the balabayit? That's the time that we're talking about, right? Remember, go back to the Mishnah. That was the halacha we said in the Mishnah. But the Mishnah said, when are you allowed to eat? B'mechubar b'sh'ak amar malacha, right? At the time of the harvest. When you're harvesting them, that's when you're allowed to eat. So you can't put it in your kli at a time, right? That comes to teach you. Well, at a time when you would be putting it in a kli for the balabayit, you can't put it in your own kelim. And that teaches us about the timing of it. I'm a Rabbi Yanai. Now we're going to have a machloket about at what point you're chayev in masrot. Ein hateva mitchayev b'maser ad shir'eh p'nei habayit. You have to go in the entranceway to the house. Okay, it sees the entrance of the house. When your fruit goes in the entranceway to your house, that's when you're chayav in maser. Shenemar, where does he learn this from? If you remember, we've seen this before. There's bior maasrot. What is that? The end of the third year, at the end of the fourth year, and the end of the seventh, at the end of the And in the fourth year and the seventh year, after 3 years of Masro, you know, Chiyuv Masro go by, you're supposed to say this Bior Masro, the Revidoy Masro, they call it, that you basically say, I've taken all my Trumot Masro. Okay, remember this, it goes every 3 years, basically. It's like part of this three-year cycle. One of the impressions connects it later to someone who got punished by this 3 years. They were destroyed 3 years before Yerushalayim got destroyed, and they connected because they weren't doing Masrot, and Masrot are viewed on this three-year cycle because you do the 3 years, right? There's Maaser Rishon. There's Maaser Sheni the first 2 years, and then the third year is Maaser Ani, and then there's Maaser Sheni the next year, is the third year Maaser Ani, and then the Shemitah. So it goes in these three-year cycles, obviously within a break for Shemitah. Okay, so in the fourth year and the seventh year, after the 3 year cycle's up, that's when you do this Vidoy Masro. That basically means I've taken care of all my stuff, right? You say, I've done all the Masro, I'm finished. So now, what do we say? So he says, what's the pasuk there by Vidoy Masro? Chenemar bi'arti ha'kodesh min habayit. I've taken it out of my house. Okay, which means that when you chayv in Masro, it doesn't exactly say it explicitly, but he's saying, we can learn from here that it has to be in your house. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Chatzer Kovad. A chatzer is enough. If you bring it into your courtyard, that's sufficient. Shenemar, Vachlu B'Sha'arecha V'Saveyu. Right? You eat in your field and you are satiated. Just 1 second. Oops. Doesn't have the psukim on the side. I just want to be able to redo the whole psukim. The pasuk there is. Okay. Ki techalel la'aser et kol ma'aser tfuatcha b'shana shlishit shnat ha'maser. Okay, when you finish taking all the masrot, v'natata la'levi la'ger li'atom v'amana, v'achlu b'sha'arecha v'saveyu. And they eat in your sha'arim, and they're satiated. So he says, from here we can learn that your sha'ar is enough. What's your sha'ar? Your chatzer went through your sha'ar into your chatzer. So now we're going to obviously question both sides, and then we're going to have questions on actually both of them. Okay, so it's going to be an interesting, right? Usually we debate, we say, oh, that side has an issue, that side has an issue. This time we're going to say, we have all sorts of sources, it seems to contradict both of them. So Rabbi Yochanan, Nami Haktiv Minabayit, right? How Rabbi Yochanan, you said the Chatzer is Kovah, but what do you do with this Pasuk B'Yarti HaKodesh Minabayit? Amar Lecha, he can say to you, answer, Chatzer Dumi Adabayit, Ma Bayit HaMishtamer, Af Chatzer HaMishtameret. Just like a bayit and a chatzir are basically the same. What does it mean? It means it's a protected area that belongs just to you. So therefore, your chatzir is guarded, just like your bayit is. So bayit can mean bayit and chatzir. So he thinks you're just chayav is, you know, even an earlier stage, but it's a similar stage. What does he do with this b'sha'arecha pasuk, which seems to imply the sha'ar is enough, which again seems to be outside the bayit. So you'll see, he's going to connect the sha'ar to the bayit. What's he going to say? Ha'huma bayale dima'ayale derech sha'ar. He says that you're actually not chayav masrot midoraita unless you bring your fruits into your house through the sha'ar. That's where he learns with sha'arecha. La fuke, la hotzi, right, to exclude, if you brought it in, derech gagot v'karpifot. Okay, if you brought it in through the roof, right, through the, I just forget exactly how they translate karpaf, it's a backyard, okay, right, so you bring it through the backyard. Okay, so basically if you bring it in, you know, you could bring it through the window.
Okay?
Quite a loophole, okay, however, midirabanan, you're going to be chayiv anyway. Okay, so it's not like you totally get out of it, but it would protect you from Doraita. Okay, you know, he views the Doraita Chiyuv as something goes into your house in the typical way it would go into your house. Anything outside that wouldn't be the classic case. But again, Midarabanan, you'd have to. Okay, so Derech Agav Karpifo, Dilo, that aren't Chiyuv. Okay, so now we're going to have a question on this. According to their logic, right, both of their opinions, your chayav masir derabanan in certain situations, maybe in the fields, right, outside where you haven't yet brought it in, we don't know yet at what stage. But you'd only be chayav midirabanan, you wouldn't be chayav midoraita for sure until it comes into either your chatzir or your house. Now we're going to bring our source that we saw to contradict. Mati Rav Chanina Choza, ki nafshecha, what did we learn here? Kach nafsho shel poel. Right? Kenafshecha kach nafsho shel poel. Ma nafshecha ochel upatur. afnafsho shapol ochelu patur. What does that seem to imply? Who doesn't have to take Chumana Masro outside? Obviously, in that scenario, where are you? You're in the fields. The fruit hasn't come into your house. The guy's working in your fields. What is it trying? What's the chidush of the pasuk? Kin afshecha, right? Here's a drasha. Assumption being, if we're learning it from a drasha from the Torah, that we're talking on a deoraita level. Kin afshecha comes to tell you that a poel is patur from maaser, just like the balabayu. Okay? What does that seem to imply, though? Ha lokeach. Okay, sorry, I lost my place. Ha lokeach chayav. Now, what does that mean? This is saying that a poel dafke is patur from maaser at that stage. However, if the owner sold it to someone else, he be chayav in maaser. Now, what's the problem with this? Right? My lav basadeh. Are we not talking about that we're in the field? And therefore, assumption being, on a doraita level, if you, your stuff is never, right, it doesn't go through your house, it's never chayav in maaser, you sell it to someone else, well, it's not their stuff, right? They buy it from you. But assuming now there's a whole, I don't want to get into all the details, there's at least four different options about exactly what the deoraita chiyuv, when is the lokeach dafka chayav mi deoraita in Chumana Masra, and when is he only chayav mi derabanan. Okay, but I'll give you like some examples of some of the opinions. Some of them say, once there's gemar malacha in the field, which means that it's ready to go into piles and all that, and you sell it, so then the chiyuv transfers onto the lokeach, or maybe some say the opposite. No, dafka when there's gemar malacha, the chiyuv doesn't transfer to the lokeach. And there's all different options about in which case maybe would there be, and in which case wouldn't there be. Maybe if you sold to him at an earlier stage, and then the gemar malacha happens in the lokeach's property, then the lokeach will be chayav. But in our case, where there's gemar malacha in the ownership of the balabai, right, which means that the stuff is ready and, you know, it's in their piles and then he sells it. So in that case, the chiyuv masrot only happens in the balabayit's territory, and it hasn't happened yet because he hasn't brought it into his house. Well, there's two stages. One is gemar malacha, right, where we're going to talk about exactly what stage is gemar malacha. It seems to be maybe once it's in a pile or something like that. And then there's bringing it into the house. So gemar malacha is not enough. But the question is, if you sell it, right, so then is the other guy, again, I'll just give you one of the opinions, which is if you sell it before gemar malacha, while it's still in your field, right, and you say, okay, you have rights to this, then since the lokeach does the gemar malacha himself, he'll actually be mitchayev b'masrot. But in our case, where there was gemar malacha in the field, then you sold it to the lokeach, there never ends up being a chiyuv masrot mitoraita. Okay? That's what they're saying here. So it would imply that the lokeach would be chayav. And it doesn't make sense to say the lokeach is chayav because it never saw pnei abayit. Okay? So, like I said, it's a little complicated, this issue, and there's a lot of different opinions among the Rishonim about when exactly he would be chayav, when he wouldn't. But let's go with that approach. So, avna shoshapol lochel halokeach chayav, and my lav is this not in the field. Okay? And basically, they're saying the lokeach isn't chayav. So why do you need, right, if the lokeach is patur in this case, because remember, it never saw pnei abayit. So if the lokeach is patur and the balabayit is patur, right, why would you need a special word, kinafshecha, to teach you that the poel is patur? Obviously it's going to be patur. Who needs a special limud? If he was a lokeach, he'd be patur. Why is he any different than the lokeach? So now they're going to answer, okay, one answer is going to be Amar Papa, hacha b'te'ena ha'omeda begina v'nofa notela chatzer askinan. We're going to say that it was a case, now remember, there's a question on both opinions. One that said chatzer, one that said bayit. So we're going to give an answer to either one. But now he's going to say the case was that it was a case where it did see pnei habayit. Okay, remember, the word is achira pnei habayit. Or pnei chatzer. What was the case? The tree was outside. Its leaves, you know, it leaned over inside, and it was over in the chatzer. So when the poel took it, he was in the chatzer. Which means that in theory, it should start to be chayav in Shemotah Masro, right? In other words, if he was a lokeach, it would have seen Pnei Habayit already, and the lokeach would have to take Shemotah Masro. Hold off, because we're going to obviously have a question on this, but let's just hold off for right now before we get there. So it's omeret beginan, nofano telechatzer askinan, and therefore, you need a special limit to say, well, the lokeach would have been chayav, because it's all Pnei Habayit. However, the po'el is going to be patur. Or, right, Laman de Amar Labayit, if you say it was Labayit, then you'd have to say that the nofa, the branches actually got into the house, Labayit, right, which is a little more complicated to say. But then, obviously, what's the question? Okay, so first of all, there's a few questions here. One, the Gemara doesn't actually ask, and I'm going to just point it out, but the Mefreshim ask it, which is, didn't we say it has to go through the sha'ar? Like, in a, growing on a tree, and the tree going into your house is not exactly the same as Pnei Abayit. So some of them explain, well, maybe it grew in through the sha'ar. You know, they try to give some answers. That's a question. I'm going to just leave it as a question. The Gemara asks the obvious question, though. If it's Achireh Pnei Abayit, then what? The Balabayit should be Chayav and Maaser, which means the Po'el should be Chayav and Maaser. The whole thing was to say he's like the Balabayit, he's Pater, therefore he's Pater. So, Ihachi Balabayit Nami Nichayev. So now what do they say? This is very interesting. Okay, I like this because it's all about people's perspectives. Balabayit Einav B'Te'enato V'Lokeach Einav B'Mikcho. What do we have here? We have a tree. The tree is outside the bayit, right? Here's the tree. And its branches go inside the bayit. Now, from Lokeach's perspective, what does he care about, right? Here are the peirot in the house, in the area of the house or the chatzir. So the peirot are already sought Pnei Abayit, and that's what the Lokeach focuses on. He could care less about the tree. He's buying the fruits. But the balabayit, he's not so short-sighted. He doesn't care particularly about these fruits. He cares about the tree itself. Mm-hmm. And the tree is outside the area, okay? Outside the house or outside the chatzir. So therefore, the balabayit is not chayav trumota maasrot on this stuff because he really focuses, his emphasis is, and where he looks at is the tree. So he's only chayav if the tree were inside the house, you know, let's say, or inside the chatzir. But the lokeach is going to be, so we're going to have a case where it's very bizarre, right? Where the same fruits, if they belong to the owner, they're not chayav and maasrot until he picks them and brings them into his house. If you're looking at the lokeach, he's going to be chayav and maasrot midoraita already, if they start, right, if they were growing in the chatzir area. Okay. So now they're going to say, the lokeach midoraita mimachayev, but is a lokeach chayav midoraita bichlal? Like a lokeach shouldn't be chayav on maasrot ever. Because why? Hatanya, don't we have a braita that says, mipnei macharvu chaniot shel beit hinu? Why were the chanuyot of Beit Hinu destroyed shalosh shanim kodem Yerushalayim? They were destroyed 3 years before the destruction of Jerusalem. Mipnei she'emidu divrei amal divrei Torah, shayu omrim, aser ta'aser v'achalta, v'lo mocher, tvuat zaracha v'lo lokech. So what do we say here? But wait a minute. It says that the people of Beit Hinu, they were destroyed 3 years before Jerusalem. Again, this is where I said this reference to the 3 years maybe being connected to the fact that Truman and Masra are on three-year cycles, and they messed up in Masra. What did they do? They went by Torah law, and they didn't go by rabbinic law, because Torah law says, okay, we're going to see this inside now, what would they say? It says in the Torah, aser ta aser v'achalta, right? You should take your Masra and eat. So what does this show? Who's the person who has to be aser ma'aser? The person who eats the fruits of his own field, which comes to exclude lo mocher, if he's bringing them into his house to sell, he doesn't have to take maasrot. And it's tfuat zaracha you have to do, the tfuah of your own seeds that you planted, which would obviously come to exclude the lokeach. So comes this drasha, this braita, and it says, based on Torah law, the lokeach is not chayav in trumah maasrot. And therefore, again, they're saying, it's another question against Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yochanan, how could you say that we need a special limud to tell you that the lokeach is going to be, that the po'el is going to be patur? Because according to Torah law, right, remember, all on the d'oraita level, the drasha is on a d'oraita level, because from a Torah perspective, only the balabayan himself will ever be chayav in masrod. So of course he wouldn't be chayav. And what was the problem, just to finish up this braita, okay, that's why it's here, but what's the braita? The braita was that they went by Torah law and they didn't go by rabbinic law. In other words, the rabbinic law says, even a lokeach has to take truma maasrot. And they didn't do that. They said, we're going to hold by Torah law. And because of that, they were destroyed earlier than Jerusalem. So now, the Gemara answer is a better answer than they gave last time, which is, Elami d'Rabbanan ukras machta ba'alma. this drasha mikinaf shecha is not a deoraita level drasha. Okay? It's the rabbis know that this is the halacha by rabbinic law. We're going to say, even in the case where the lokeach will be chayav by rabbinic law, right? We're going to pater the poel. And it just connected it to a pasuk, so you remember it, right? Usually they say this is used as a mnemonic device, so that you remember this halacha. Okay, so therefore the drasha is not in a deoraita level. Once we say that, so we've resolved all our issues, right? This is all on a derabanan level. The lokeach is on the chayav derabanan, therefore the poel is patur, midirabanan, right? In other words, we need a drasha, midirabanan only, to tell you that he's patur. Because obviously on a deoraita level, no one would even think he'd be chayav. Okay, that closes the issue. However, the Gemara says, if that's the case, so then the word kinaf shecha is free now to darshan things, because that was only on a derabanan drasha, right? It was just a connecting it to a pasuk. So, ela kinaf shecha lamai ata. By the way, this is interesting. What does this teach you? That when we always have drashot and we say, well, we use that pasuk for this drasha, we can't use it again. It's only if the drashot are on a deoraita level. If we say it's just an asmachta ba'alma, and the rabbis are just learning something out of that, then it's free, according to this anyway. I don't know if it's true across the board. But then it seems to be free for other drashot, okay? Because it was, right, then we can darshan it on a deoraita level about something else. Ela kinafshecha lamai ata. So what does it come to teach you? L'chiditanya. Kinafshecha, okay, a poel is treated like yourself. Okay, now before we get here, I have to teach you a pasuk. Lo tachsom shor b'disho. You know that pasuk? What does it mean? You can't muzzle the animal when he's on the threshing floor. Okay, now remember, what's the threshing floor? That's after the tefuah is already cut, right? Okay, I'll give you all the terminology that we're going to see now in the Gemara. Okay, if you're working with the animal and you're using the animal to thresh the stuff, okay, so here's a shor. He's, right, there's an isur of lo tachsom shor b'disho. You can't muzzle him while he's on the threshing floor, meaning you can't prevent him from eating. If he wants to eat, let him eat some of it, okay? Which is similar to the poet. While he's working, let him eat, right? It's the same kind of thing. So now, lo tachsom applies in what case? When the stuff is talush, because the threshing happens later, right? They cut the tefuah, then they put it on the threshing floor, and they separate the wheat from the chaff. So that happens with talush. The poel, what have we been talking about? The poel is allowed to eat, right? When does he eat? When it's mechubar, right? Dafka mechubar at the earlier stage, okay? When he's cutting. Okay. So now, the Gemara is going to say like this. We're going to compare these two. So what do we learn from kinaf shecha? Ma nafshecha im chasamta patur. What is it? What are we talking about here? If you go out into your own field and you say, hey, you know what? I don't want to eat right now. I want to wait till all my stuff is brought in. And then I'll eat, right? It's like when dinner, you're making dinner and you say to your kids, you know, nobody eat until I put it on the table, right? We wait till it's done and it's ready. And you can, right? People can hold back. They could say, okay, I won't eat right now. So you yourself, right? There's no isur involved. Now, obviously, there's no isur involved, right? But there's no isur involved for you to say to yourself, well, I'm not going to eat from the stuff until I actually, you know, gets to a later stage. So im chasamta patur. So likewise, af poel im chasamta patur. If you have a worker and you make an agreement with him and you say, listen, I'm not allowing you to eat in my field, you're allowed to do that, okay? Which is different from a shur. A shur, you're not allowed to prevent from eating. There's a specific isur, but the isur of lo tachsom shur b'disho does not apply to people. Which means what? What do you mean? Didn't we say the poel's allowed to eat? It means you have to compensate them. You have to give them money for food. Okay, you can't say, you're not allowed to eat and I'm not paying you. No, you owe him money for that. But you can pay him in money and say, I don't want you eating my crops. You're allowed to make that deal with him from the beginning. So therefore, they're saying, that's what we learn with kinaf shecha, from kinaf shecha. So manav shchaim chasam tapatur, apu'el chasam tapatur. There's no isser involved. Matib marzutra. Marzutra is now going to ask, I think we're back to a question on the two opinions we saw before, Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yochanan, I believe. Just one second. Before we go on, let's just know where we're going. Right, we're back to these stages, okay? About Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yochanan, about the bringing the master into the house. Matib Marzutra, he brings a question from this Tanaitic source. Ezehu gornan lemaasrot, Okay, Goran means a few things. It means the Goran, right? Which is basically the right after they would thresh it, they would put it in a pile, they would pile it up, and then they flatten the pile out. Okay, that's the Goran, and they put it in the granary. But Goran is also used in conjunction with the Chiyuv of Maaser. Okay, the pasuk says, "V'nechshav lachem shumatchem kedagam min haGoran." Okay, now you have to remember the granary was only used for particular things, for like the chita and the seorah. It wasn't used for other kind of produce. Okay, and but since they say v'nechshav lachem shumatchem kedagam min haGoran, what they mean here, me'matai gorna, ezu gornan, it means when is a chayav in shumat maaser. Okay, lemasrot. Ezu gornan lemasrot. At what point is it considered as if it's in the goren and you have to do trumot masrot? So bekishuin ubidluin, right? It's going to depend on what the item is. When it comes to zucchinis and pumpkins and things from that family, mishayi paksu. Okay, what's that? Amar Rabbi Yasi, mishayi natel pikas shelahen. Okay, there's a bit of a difference of opinion what exactly this is. You know, when you buy fruits and vegetables in the store and they have some leaves on them or stuff attached to them, right? You go buy cucumber. Well, cucumbers have a stem, but you know, sometimes there's like green stuff stuck to them. Some people say that's what it means. It's when that part comes off, or fibery stuff that's on it, that's on the edges, that when that comes off, it's a stage of ripening, right? When it's fully ripe, those things will just kind of come off on their own. Okay, so that's, some people say it's the budding comes off or some sort of flower comes off, but it seems to be more logical that that's what we're talking about, because if the flower coming off, first of all, it doesn't really exist on vegetables, it exists on fruits, and here we're talking about vegetables, and that would be a much earlier stage while it's still on the tree, and this seems to be once it's already picked. So, when you take the pikas out, so now they say, my lab mishi paksu afilu basadeh. So according to this, it sounds like whenever that piece falls off, which could happen in the field, it could happen in the house, right? So they say, no, lo mishi paksu babayit. It means, no, you bring it into the house, it's still not chayav in maaser. And first they asked a question, right? It sounds like that's the stage which goes against Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yochanan. No. Once you bring it, again, either into the house or into the chatzir, depending on which pin you hold by, and then it falls off, it's an additional stage. Then you're chayav. So now they say ihachi, then it shouldn't have said mishi yipaksu. It should say adshi yipaksu, right? In other words, you brought it into the house, and now you have to wait until it, right? Adshi yipaksu sounds like you're talking about two stages. It's got to have something, and then still adshi yipaksu. It should have said that, and it doesn't say that. It says mishi yipaksu, so it sounds like a difficult explanation. So the Gemara says, no. Itana adshi yipaksu hava mina ad legmar pikusayu. If it said ad shi paksu, you would have thought, what? You have to wait until the very last one, the thing falls off. Right, until everything is totally ripened. Therefore, it said mishayi paksu, which means you brought it into the house already, and then you have to wait till the first one, the leafy stuff or the fibers come off, and as soon as the first one does, then they all become chayav and masrod. Okay? So we answered our question on it. Another question. Matir versutra bereid Rav Nachman. Gorno lemaaser l'chayav ala mishum tevel. Mishu tigamer melachtan. Okay, again, we're going to say, right, what's this, when's the goren for maaser? That you chayav mishum tevel. Remember, tevel means you've eaten fruits that aren't maaser. Mishu tigamer melachtan. Okay, when you finish the malacha. So now, obviously, again, just like mishu yipaksu. Ezehu gumar melachtan. What is that? Melechet hachnasatan. Now, hachnasatan here doesn't mean bringing it into the house. It means gathering it into a pile, like kinus, right? Hachnasa comes from kinus, gathering it. When you gather it into the pile, which is, right, when you put it into that pile, after you've cut everything and then you, right, and then you've done the threshing and then you put it in a pile. My lav hachnasatan, doesn't it sound like afilu basadeh, right? Often you would make that pile out in the field. So they say, lo, achnasatan labayit. No, it means when you made the pile in your house. Okay? So it doesn't necessarily contradict. Okay, achnasatan labayit, zehu gemar melachtan. Okay, so one answer is to say, the achnasat labayit is the gemar melacha. V'ibayit ema, another option is to say, ki ka'ama rabbi yanai bezeitim va'anavim, delab b'nei goreninu. Aval chitinu se'orin, goren behed yaktiv be. So now we're going to say, wait, maybe there's a distinction. Remember I said the Goram was only for the Chitim and the Sorim. There, we do, right? When's the Gemara Malacha for them? When you gather them in the pile in the granary, and then you leave them there, right? That's the Gemara Malacha for those items. But when Rabbi Yanai was talking and said the Chatzir, what was he talking about? Or also Rabbi Yochanan, right, when he talked about the house, what were they talking about? Zeitim and Anavim, where they don't have a stage where they go into the granary. And since they don't have that stage of Hachnasatan in the granary, therefore we do those in the house, right? They're not Chayav until you get either into the Chatzir or into the house. Okay. And Klitin Yisorim Behed Yiktibe, and that was the pasuk I told you before, V'nechshav Lachem Trumotav K'dagam Min HaGoren, right? That they have the Goren specifically. Okay, now the last thing we're going to do for today is now we're going to talk about this Lo Tachsom Shur B'Gisho by a shur. And what have we learned so far? That a shur can't eat. You can't be forbidden to eat from the Talush, right, when he's in the threshing floor. And we learned that a poel is allowed to eat from mechubar, right? So now the Gemara is going to say like this. Eshkechan adam b'mechubar v'shur b'talush, right? We have now that a poel can eat from mechubar and a shur can eat from talush. What about, right, the flip, okay? Adam b'talush minalan. How do we know that the adam is also allowed to eat from fruits that are already picked? So we're going to suggest kavachomer mishur. A shur cannot eat what's attached to the ground, but he can't eat talush, right? This is your classic kal v'chomer. Adam she'ochel b'mechubar ain't odin she'ochel b'talush, right? If a shur can't eat mechubar but can't eat talush, then a man, a person who can eat mechubar should be also allowed to eat talush, right? This is the one, I think I told you this one about the spoon and the fork, right? If meat can be eaten with a fork, right? How does it work? If meat can be eaten with a fork, and can't be eaten with a spoon, but can be eaten with a fork, right? So soup that can be eaten with a spoon, kavachomer, should be able to be eaten with a fork, right? Now, you can take this to. Okay, so now malishur. So now we're going to reject this kavachomer and say no, because there's a chumra by shur. What's the chumra? Ah. We saw it already, right? Ma l'shur shekein atam mitzuvel chasimato. A shur has a special chiyuv that it's a lav, it's a lotaseh, you'll get malka for it, if you prevent him from eating. Tomar ba'adam shiyatam mitzuvel chasimato. So therefore you can't say that shur is a kal, shur is chamor in this case, in which case you can't learn from it to adam. So then they suggest, v'yehe adam mitzuvel chasimato mikal v'chomer mishur. Maybe you should learn that a person, you can't be chosem from a kavachomer mishur. Why? What would be the kavachomer? Uma shur she'i atam mitzuvel lahachayoto. Atam mitzuvel chasimato. What does it mean you're not mitzuvel lahachayoto? Well, let's go for one more minute. Adam she'atam mitzuvel lahachayoto. It says, v'chayachi chayimach. So if you see someone drowning, you have to save him, right? So when it comes to adam, you're chayav to save him. You don't have that same chiyuv when it comes to a shur. So if a shur, you're not chayav lahachayototo, but yet you can't prevent him from eating, kal v'chomer, adam, shatam tzuvel lahachayoto, ein odin, shatam tzuvel chasimato. Right? It actually makes sense also. If you have to, right? If you have to save him from dying, well then also, you shouldn't prevent him from eating because eating is his sustenance. So how could you prevent him from eating? So amar kra, so therefore they say, no, you can't learn that because we know already from the pasuk. Remember, what did we learn? Kinaf shecha. Right? And therefore, you can't learn that by a kavachomer, that a person, your chayav also in chasimuto, in which case the shur wouldn't have a chomer, in which case we could learn this kavachomer and learn that adam also can eat patalush, because we know from a limud in the pasuk that you're not chayav al chasimuto shel adam. Okay. So therefore, we're still stuck with ve'ela adam b'talush minalan, because we rejected the possible kavachomer. Amar kra kama kama shnei pa'amim. Okay, let's go back to that pasuk we saw yesterday. Ki tavo bekamat re'echa, you get into your friend's field. Ve'katafta melilo piyadecha. Ve'chermesh lo tanif al kamat re'echa. The word kama appears twice in the pasuk. When you have a word that's unnecessary, what do we say? We have a drasha, sug of a drasha called imeno inyan lezeh, tineu inyan lezeh. If it's not coming to teach you what it already taught you in the earlier in the pasuk, so then we can use it to teach you something else. Okay, it doesn't even have to be in the same pasuk. It could be in the same section of pasukim. In this case, it's in the same pasuk. Ime no inyan la'adam b'mechubar, since we already taught about Adam, that he can only take up a mechubar. Tineu inyan la'adam b'talush. So we say, there's an extra word there, kama, it must come to teach you Adam b'talush. Okay, so we now learn talush from the word, from the duplicity of the word kama, kama appearing in the pasuk. We're going to learn that one of them is for mechubar, and one is for talush. And that's how we learn that Adam can also eat something that's already been picked. Remember, Yidah has to do it in the time of the Gemara Malacha, but once it, right, he can eat it whether it's been picked or whether it's mechubar. Okay, now we're going to have to do the opposite, which is the shor. Or did I not? No, there's more. Rabbi Ami Amar Adam b'sh, right. So now there's another opinion before we get to the shor. Rabbi Ami Amar Adam b'talush lo tzarech kra. You don't even need a pasuk to teach you this. Why? K'tiv ki tavo b'kerem re'echa. Mi lo askinan shescharo l'katef, v'am rachmana lechu. When it says ki tavo b'kerem re'echa, why would you be in your friend's field working? Either you're picking the grapes, alternatively, you could be transporting the grapes. You could go into your friend's kerem to be transporting the grapes. Now, what kind of grapes are you transporting? Ones that are talush. So he says that from the pshat of that pasuk, you don't even need a drasha. It's obvious that we're referring to any kind of worker that comes into your kerem. One of them could be the one who's carrying them, who's transporting them, right? Katef from your shoulder, right? He's carrying them on his shoulder. And therefore, the Torah says you can eat, so obviously you can eat b'talush. Okay, now we're going to question, we have shor, lo tachsom shor b'disho, is talking about when it's talush. What about b'mechubar? Okay? So, by the way, the assumption of this Gemara is that a poel can eat both mechubar and talush. It's just a matter of where do we learn it from, and likewise with a shor. Mm-hmm. You can't prevent the shor from eating talush and mechubar. The question is just going to be, the talush is obvious, because that's the pasuk, shor b'disho. Where are we going to learn the mechubar? So the Gemara says, again, we're going to do the same, it's going to be the exact same structure. Let's try a kav chomer, it doesn't work, we're stuck, we're going to do an imei no inyan. So, Shor she'ochel b'talush, eino din, ochel b'talush, ochel b'mechubar, shor she'ochel b'talush, I was starting the wrong line. Okay. Shor b'mechubar minalan, kavachomer me'adam. Uma adam she'eino ochel b'talush, ochel b'mechubar, right? We're going to try the exact same thing now. If a person who can't eat b'talush, but can eat b'mechubar, remember, from the pasuk, from the pshat, okay, so a shor she'ochel b'talush eino din she'ochel b'mechubar. Shouldn't it be that he can also eat b'mechubar? So they say no, because again, there's a chumer by Adam, which we already saw. Now, what's the chumer by Adam? Mal Adam she'ken ata mitzuveh l'achayoto. Tomar b'shor she'ya ata mitzuveh l'achayoto, right? Since you're not chayav to save him if you were dying. By the way, what's the logic of thinking that you would have to, like the Mepreshim say, what's even this hava mean here? We'll get to it in a second. Okay, forget it. We haven't gotten there. Get there right now. So since you're not chayav to save him, right, if he's, you know, struggling, you're not chayav to save him. Therefore, the Adam as a chumra, which wouldn't allow the shor to eat b'mechubar, would only allow him to eat b'talush, like the pasuk says. V'yehei shor mitzuveh l'achayotom mikavachomer. Maybe you should be chayav l'achayot the shor mikavachomer. First, you immediately jump and say, what are you talking about? Don't we slaughter animals? Like, how could you say we have to keep them alive if you slaughter them? So the best explanation I saw was that there's difference. Yes, they're meant for slaughtering, but kol od you're not slaughtering them until that stage. If you see him struggling, you know, you have to save him. There's tzar bale chayim, right? Even though we have tzar bale chayim, we're still allowed to shecht animals. So that, there's that.
It's like when you have the heavy load on the donkey and you have an obligation.
Exactly. You have an obligation to help the animal if he's struggling under a heavy load. So likewise, you could say maybe you have an obligation to save him. It happens, you don't have an obligation, but there is at least a half a minute that thinks so. Mikal v'chomer. What's going to be the kal v'chomer? You can imagine, right? We're just taking all the same issues and turning them on their side. Uma adam she'i atam mitzuvah chasimato, atam mitzuvah lachiyoto, right? If you're not chayav to prevent him, you can prevent him from eating in your field, and yet you're chayav to keep him alive if he's you know, to help him save him. Sure, shatam tzuvah chasimuto, ain odin shatam tzuvah lachiyoto. So sure, if already you can't prevent it from eating, all the more so, you should have to save him. So now the answer, no. Amar kra v'chay achi chayimach. Achicha v'lo shor, right? That pasuk applies specifically to achicha and not to a shor. So ela shor b'machubar minhalan. So we're still stuck with that. Amar kra, now if you look at the other pasuk about kerem. What does it say? B'chita bo b'kerem re'echa, v'achalta nevin k'nafshecha savecha, v'kayecha lo titein. And then the next pasuk is kita bo b'kamat re'echa. Notice the duplicity. Re'echa, re'echa. So what do they say? Amar kra re'echa re'echa shnei pamim. Okay, so they say the first re'echa is coming to tell you about the adam b'mechubar. The second re'echa must be coming to include something additional, which we, you know, doesn't seem clear they're talking about in the pasuk, but that's how an imei no inyan works. And therefore, from the word re'echa, we're going to learn shor b'mechubar. Again, just like the last time we had, somebody said, oh, you don't even need the pasuk. Here someone else comes in and says, Rabin amar lo adam b'talush v'lo shor b'mechubar tzrich ekra. Neither of them need psukim. Dichtiv lo tachsom shor b'disho. Michte kol mile itnehu b'chasima. D'alpinan, right, you might have thought, when shor lav dafka, right, and it means any kind of animal, okay? D'alpinan shor shor mishabbat. When it says shor in Shabbat, your shor can't work for you, right? In the Aseret HaDibrot, it says, you know, all those things can't work, the animal, your children. So it says there, shor v'chamor, and we say shor there means all animals. Likewise, lo tachsom shor b'disho includes all animals, not just a shor. Im kein, if that's the case though, lichtav rachmana lo tidosh b'chasima. It should just say, lo tidosh, right? Lo tachsom shor b'disho should say, lo tidosh b'chasima, right? That's what they're suggesting. An alternative reading of that pasuk. Lo tidosh b'chasima. Why did you bring the shor up? So shor dekatav rachmana lamali. La'kushe chosem lenechsam. V'nechsam lechosem. The reason they put the shor there was to tell you that the shor is like the person who is muzzling him, and the person who is muzzling him is like the shor. Ma chosem ochel b'mechubar, ach nechsam ochel b'mechubar, u'ma nechsam ochel b'talush, ach chosem ochel b'talush. This obviously isn't really the pshat, but they're saying that the word shor there is totally unnecessary in the pasuk because it really means all animals. If it means all animals, there's no point to say shor. To just say behema or something, or not even at all. It's obvious when you're talking about in the dash, in the threshing floor, you're talking about the animal. So therefore, the fact that it says it comes to teach you something additional, what does it come to teach you? That the animal is like its owner, the owner is like its animal, okay, which means really not its owner, but a worker is like an animal. That just like the worker can eat a mechubar, the animal can eat a mechubar, and just like the animal can eat a talush, the worker can eat a talush. And that's what, it's not exactly the pshat, but it's, right, he claims it comes from there, and therefore you don't need these other psukim to prove it. What do you want to say?
No.
No.